Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The infrastructure bill is currently in the works to become law and will be voted on this week after lawmakers advance the bill Saturday. In the bipartisan bill is a mileage tax for all drivers on American roads within 1 year of passage. Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican from North Dakota, says by passing this legislation, it will make the next partisan infrastructure deal much more difficult for the Democrats.
And we make the next deal much more difficult politically for moderate Democrats to support. So we actually, in passing this, I think have created a political advantage for moderates and for conservatives in this country.
The senator says he expects a vote by Wednesday. Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, told NBC News as a matter of personal conscience, she wants a vaccine mandate.
I think that we need to be working with our employers, not opposing them, on vaccine mandates.
We are USA Radio News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Melissa DeRosa, a top aide to disgraced Democrat Governor of New York Andrew Cuomo, resigned Sunday. For months, she had been seen during Cuomo's coronavirus news conferences. The New York Attorney General, after a thorough investigation, found Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women, leaving the governor without his top aide as he faces an impending impeachment. It's been well over a year since Americans could freely go into Canada. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau has more.
American tourists will be able to travel to Canada for the first time in nearly a year and a half, starting on Monday. The Canadian border is being reopened to fully vaccinated Americans who will be required to follow a checklist to enter the country that includes providing proof of vaccination ahead of traveling, showing no symptoms of COVID-19, and submitting to random COVID testing.
On Sunday, the United States overtook China in the gold medal count at the Olympics with 39 to CCP's 38. The United States led the world with 113 total medals in Tokyo, Japan. USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
San Francisco, California lawmakers are demanding all sheriffs, police, and firefighters be vaccinated or be fired. As the city is already 400 police officers short, crime is skyrocketing. San Francisco Deputy Sheriff Association's Ken Lamba tells Fox News this is only going to make a bad situation worse.
You're looking at close to 1,000, public safety officers, law enforcement officers, firefighters, also nurses and some other employees. But the San Francisco is serious about terminating them. And it's all because of this very extreme mandate that they have right now. And it's vaccinate or be terminated. It's not in alignment with the state, the feds, the surrounding counties. It's on the extreme side. And, they're threatening to fire, deputy sheriffs, police officers, firefighters, nurses, the employees. Well, we think the solution is simple. And we would like the mandate to be in alignment with the state. So instead of vaccinate or be terminated, it would be, vaccinate or test weekly. So it's a simple solution to avoid a big staffing crisis.
The unvaccinated numbers are low in San Francisco. Only 16% of sheriff deputies, 17% of police, and 9.5% of firefighters are unvaccinated as of Friday. I'm Lance Pride, USA Radio News.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
After the top of the hour, and we've got the legal analyst, author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. John O'Connor joins us now. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Bill. Good.
Well, advocacy journalism, boy, I'll tell you, it has overtaken everything. I mean, that has kind of opened the door to, propaganda. And along the way, the once legacy media losing credibility. I mean, they're losing subscriptions at every turn. Eyes and ears are turning away because they just no longer trust what they're presenting.
Well, what the media don't realize is that a big factor in Trump's rise was the fact that he bashed the media. Mm-hmm. And that the populace felt that there was a guy, for however rough and crude he might be, he was telling him the truth, and he wasn't going to give in to this political correctness that pervades the media. Mm-hmm. So there is a great appetite in the country for people to tell the truth. It's just people don't like it. It's a normal human condition. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to be lied to, and everybody gets the sense that these people are just not on the up and up, and they're
exactly.
not.
Yeah. Well, for the last several years, you could say we tried this experiment of narrative and people stretching the truth, manufacturing, you know, news bites to get clicks and whatever, you know, that all the shenanigans CNN and others did. I mean, it was just absolutely disgusting. So the idea that it was fake news, this was self-inflicted on behalf of the news professionals, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. When you, the media will not even admit, for example, with our own eyes, we see that Biden gets elected and the people start crossing the border. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a connection between those two things. And then, of course, the media says, well, no, he really didn't cause that, did he?
Well,
come on. You know, we all have common sense. You know, we're going to believe you our own eyes and ears, you know?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And that's the problem. They're losing their credibility and actually have lost it some time ago. Mm-hmm. And that's bad for everybody because
exactly.
Then what happens? Then you read these articles in the leftist, magazines, some of which I subscribe to, the New Yorker, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, gee, we can't figure it out. How can these people, how come we all get our own sources of information? How come we don't trust the mainstream media anymore? Well, there's real good reason. We don't think that's a real source of information.
Yeah,
so, every now and then, people will go to a site that maybe isn't reliable or gives them a bad article or something. But still, those are people that are searching for the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and the thing is, as you say, what are they going to believe? You know, what they see, you know, with their lying eyes. I mean, the reality of it. And then what makes it worse is then the administration and a president is just flat. I don't know if he's just flat out lying. I mean, you know, we try to be hesitant and civil, especially when we talk about, you know, the president of the United States. And although that was kind of thrown out the door under the Trump administration, Trump was, you know, constantly a liar until, you know, he was proven right and they're not about to admit it. I mean, even like this whole situation, this woke society that, you know, and this grand experiment that we've gone through, and, you know, it's like, okay, you guys got the helm of the boat and you keep running it into the pier to such a degree that even Bill Maher has to come out and say, hey, look, at this isn't working. I mean, this whole woke movement, I mean, we're killing people. We're really not helping people at the end of the day. And that kind of gave me some hope, you know, for progressives to think, okay, not all is lost if Bill Maher is waking up to the reality of the damage that's being done.
Well, that's right. And they think they're helping Biden by sort of going along like, you know, whistling past the graveyard, everything's just great. And if they know it's not, and yet they're trying to just sell it to everybody, well, you're not really helping your buddy. If your buddy's really Biden, you can really do him a good favor by saying, no, this isn't working, and right. He can steer his way from it. But he's not doing that because the media's not doing it. So they all think everything's just fine. And then, you know, then they can't figure out why Hillary Clinton lost and yes. Why the poll didn't quite seem to measure things. And let's face it, they were surprised at what happened in this last election. Volume of votes for Trump. Now, it's another matter about this election, but even at that, you will not find in the media a respectful treatment of those things that clearly went wrong with the election. I mean, there's nothing. Listen, this is a COVID election. Even if you're pro-Biden, you ought to have the honesty to say, look, this was not a great election.
Yeah. Well, Moore is saying that, though, John. I mean, over 50% of the country, Democrats, Republicans, independents alike, they're all saying, hey, we need to do an audit here. And that number has been increasing. So they're seeing this, and they're just, you know, the evidence, the preponderance of the evidence is coming out. And then, of course, tomorrow you've got the start of the 72-hour symposium by Mike Lindell. And the evidence, I mean, he says, I mean, of course, we'll see what happens, but he reports this is very compelling. And by his analysis, the final number is Donald Trump over 80 million votes and Joe Biden less than 68. I mean, you know, and we've got to get outside of this situation, as you say, this, you know, prejudiced and biased media, because even Fox, I mean, Fox wouldn't even run a promo ad for Mike's symposium. And so Mike said, fine, you know, I'll just cancel all my advertising with you. So goodbye to $50 million. But that didn't matter to Fox, because in their mind and their heart, this thing is a foregone conclusion, which amazes me, John, because, as you know, we spent 4 years trying to prove the illegitimacy of one Donald Trump. 4 years, over $30 million, probably more like $70 million. But, you know, I'll use the lower number just to keep it, you know, whatever, in line with what the general response is. But it was up there. It was a lot of money to prove. And what happened? You know, they even impeached him, and they couldn't prove that there was any, you know, collusion that took place. And meanwhile, you got Hillary Clinton, to your point, yelling and screaming, going, Joe Biden? They vote Joe Biden in? They step over me? You know, what is wrong with me? I mean, she's in therapy, this poor woman.
Well, you know, it was very easy and very easy to spot right away. Right as Peter Stroke, we now learn, was saying when Mueller's team was formed, Peter Stroke was saying, I don't think there's any there. He looked at all the evidence.
Right.
Even though he went ahead and did it. So I wrote an article at the time. I said, this is like Jerry Seinfeld's television show. It's a show about nothing.
Right.
And it was obvious from the start. You know, so you have these. You have these clear problems. Now let's go to the election. The very left-leaning Brookings Institution said that with the urban voters, there should be 5 or 6% of the vote, mail-in vote, should be disqualified because, as per past history, the folks aren't going to fill the ballots right. And there's going to be some problems with the signatures. Well, guess what happened? About 0.3% of the votes were disqualified. Mm-hmm. You know, so And then the New York Times had an article on the front page. Gosh, we wonder what happened. Why were there so few votes disqualified? And then they tried to say, well, there are a lot of people out there helping people vote better. That's why we just got better.
Yeah.
Well, nobody believes that. Everybody with their own eyes and ears sees what happens here.
Mm.
You can't get around vote harvesting.
Right.
And I just tore out of my New Yorker a 12-page article, which I think is significant because they're talking about why do people keep believing the big lie about the election?
I'll tell you what, let's pick it up when we come back right there. John O'Connor is with us. It's just about 15 after the top of the hour.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. In 1946, Reverend Charlie Byers stepped up to the mic to share the gospel via the Gospel Tide Hour radio show. Listen to what Charlie said back then.
We believe that the gospel is able to save the sinner, to heal the sick, and to sanctify the believer.
Fast forward 75 years, and the power of the gospel to change lives has not diminished. We believe that the gospel is relevant in every language and can transform the lives of all people, regardless of their cultural or ethnic identity or where they live. That's why the Tide Ministry now shares the gospel in 30 different languages on 3 continents and has a vision to keep expanding until the whole world experiences the power of the gospel of Christ. To learn how you can help the Tide Ministry continue sharing the good news of Christ around the globe and impact even more people over the next 75 years, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation continues with John O'Connor. He is the legal analyst and author of Postgate. You know, John, like you, when I am directed to a liberal publication, my hope is always that maybe they'll help me understand their point of view. And I'm disappointed when I invest that time and discover that it's so siloed that it really doesn't expand the consciousness. It really kind of retards the whole process, doesn't it?
Well, that's what I find. Like I was telling you about this New Yorker article where I was hoping to find some explanation for these election anomalies. Everyone, the reason 50% of the people think the election was terrible was because it was terrible. It looks terrible. Now, maybe there's explanations for some of these things. And so I read 12 pages. It's they select good writers. They're the best in the left. Mm-hmm. And yet, all that happened for 12 pages was very sophisticated, well-written name-calling for anybody on the right who thought the election was bad, but no one said why. And then they would quote a few people that were Republicans saying, oh, no, I don't believe there's anything wrong with the election. And that, like, as if that proves it, because, you know, some of these Republicans, boy, they know it's a big lie and they're speaking out. And but there was no proof. Mm-hmm. My problem is, where's the proof? And most of your audience, Bill, likes to get to the truth.
Exactly.
And one of the values on the right in this country is the marketplace of ideas. Mm-hmm. The values on the progressive side are not marketplace of ideas. It's like one line, you follow one line and that's it. And if you stray from it, woe be to you. Mm-hmm. But one of the values is, you know, let's call them as we see them.
Yes.
We don't think that human beings are all perfect on one side of the political fence. Everybody is flawed. We can all make mistakes, and we all do not have perfect information. Information and truth is provisional. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. But you don't get that. That's what's so terrible. You do not get that on the left side of the aisle. It's there is a line that is put out there, and everybody must toe to it. And it's sort of like we have a media that should be in China or Russia, not America.
Right. Oh, without a doubt. No. And they're misserving us, the mainstream media, which is, you know, their reason to exist is the First Amendment. And that's been so violated and interpreted that when, you know, the idea of the validity of the Constitution comes into play, you know, they pigpile and, you know, question its validity. Well, that doesn't work. I mean, that's like people saying they represent the United States of America and then badmouth us and want to burn our flag.
Well, the Constitution, all the founders said that liberty to disturbances, to riots, is like oxygen to a flame. We're going to have mobs. We're going to have riots if you have a democracy. You're going to have these disturbances. Mm. But what's the remedy for these mob action and factionalism? It's a free press. The free press is supposed to be out there telling us information so that we don't have a one-sided view of events, so we don't get into mobs, and it destroys factionalism. As you know, really meaning the bad part of democracy is factionalism, irrational movements. But the problem is the press is not acting as the way the press was presumed to act. At that time, during the Federalist Papers, you're supposed to have a richness of conflicting views and opinions from the major media. You're not getting it.
Right.
And that's what's so terrible about our society. We can't have a democracy if we don't have that, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. John, we would say in business that you get inside the bubble, and this is what the media has done. It's got inside a bubble that it's promoting. And here it is. We had the summer of love, you know, $4 billion plus worth of damage. Supposedly an insurrection happened on January 9th, but let's ignore what Black Lives Matter and Antifa had done previously and the amount of damage. And my question has been, how much damage at Lafayette Park and in D.C. with Black Lives Matter and Antifa did we experience versus what happened on January the 6th? And interesting, that number is squashed.
Well, that That's right. And if you read, there's a Senate report which completely contradicts the ridiculous House committee, which basically says that they knew all along what was going to happen. They had perfect intelligence. Now, of course, they screwed it up. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that one of the reasons that everyone was so hesitant, and this is the local police, the city police, and the federal Department of Defense, they're all worried because over the summer, the media kept decrying optics, bad optics if the soldiers are out there. We don't want to see boots on the ground. Oh, it's terrible. It's unconstitutional to have boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's not. Our country was founded in such a way that the commander-in-chief was supposed to quell civil disturbances with the military. That's the whole story of Shay's Rebellion and the Whiskey Rebellion.
Exactly.
That's what our but so what happens is a lot of what happened on January 6th is because of this silly stuff that was printed in the media. If people were not afraid to call out the National Guard, that was a very, very mild so-called riot. It could have been swatted away like a housefly if we had a couple hundred National Guard people there.
Look at the numbers. John, look at the numbers. The numbers of Capitol Police and the amount of people that breached the perimeter, some by invitation, others otherwise. I mean, it was almost like a 2-to-1 ratio, armed police, Capitol Police, versus the people that came in the Capitol building. How messed up is that? I mean, if that's not indicative of a breakdown in leadership, I mean, if the Capitol Police should be upset with anybody, it should be to the higher ups, all the way up to Nancy Pelosi, that somehow is involved here in stifling action. You talk about optics in order to present an optic that would be politically advantageous, and it caused the death of one female veteran.
Well, that's right. The Senate report is devastating. The Capitol Hill Police Intelligence knew in detail what was going to happen. And they said, look, Trump's rallies in November and December were quite peaceful. Mm-hmm. But the intelligence was clear that this one wasn't going to be there. Now, it's not that many people. It's 50 or 100 people mm-hmm. that they have intelligence are coming there to do some damage. Okay, we need to deploy somebody. Now, none of that really was communicated well. There was no plan. And get this, Bill, there are 1,500 uniformed Capitol Hill police within just that little one-mile square, 1,500 uniformed police, and I think they had like 270 out there deployed. Mm-hmm. You know, they in essence were hung out to dry, the frontline police, because there was no plan. There was nothing. So in many cases, they weren't well equipped. It was just a total breakdown of their leadership. Now, there are a couple guys that I think are very sympathetic to frontline troops because they were kind of right in the middle of some bad stuff. But, you know, that's so you focus on one or two of these line officers who really did have a bad deal.
Right.
And so people and then the whole notion that Trump did it. Trump could have sung Mary Had a Little Lamb. But if you read, and the same thing would have happened, if you read the Senate report, they say, look, this was just well known what was going to happen. Not only did the Capitol Hill police know it, but the FBI told them and the Department of Homeland Security. The head of the intelligence of the Department of Homeland Security said, I can't figure out why they didn't do anything based on our report.
Right.
From putting aside the fact that their own intelligence said the same thing. So this is a total breakdown. And a lot of it is because everybody was like, oh, we can't have boots on the ground. Well, of course, as soon as this happens, all of a sudden Biden has 26,000 boots on the ground for his inauguration without the hand of a threat.
Exactly.
You know, it's okay then. It's okay then. He kind of likes it. Oh, let's put up barbed wire.
Yeah,
you know, and some of that was just trying to make it look like they're all these white supremacists are going to come after me. Well, all of a sudden, everybody's a white supremacist, and that's what gets me. The other thing about this is, if there is a riot with a purpose, this is a purpose of people saying our democracy is being taken from us. This is
exactly.
very much of a a democratic riot. Now, the New York Times, of course, therefore called it an anti-democratic riot. But it was very much of a democratic riot. I do not subscribe to those people who came there to
destroy
violence.
Exactly. John, we got to leave it there. But thank you for being with us.
Are you worried about refinancing your mortgage only to find a better rate later? Introducing the No Regret Refinance from Network Capital Funding Corporation. Mortgage rates are near all-time lows, and Network Capital is now offering one of our lowest 30-year fixed rates ever, 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. With a rate this low, you'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Our unique process is fast, simple, and secure. And right now, the Network Capital 30-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. Now, today's low rates won't last, so talk to us about the No Regret Refinance today. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Finance Law Number 603D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The infrastructure bill is currently in the works to become law and will be voted on this week after lawmakers advance the bill Saturday. In the bipartisan bill is a mileage tax for all drivers on American roads within 1 year of passage. Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican from North Dakota, says by passing this legislation, it will make the next partisan infrastructure deal much more difficult for the Democrats.
And we make the next deal much more difficult politically for moderate Democrats to support. So we're actually, in passing this, I think have created a political advantage for moderates and for conservatives in this country.
The senator says he expects a vote by Wednesday. Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, told NBC News, as a matter of personal conscience, she wants a vaccine mandate.
I think that we need to be working with our employers, not opposing them, on vaccine mandates.
We are USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Dr. Andy Lazarus is going to be with us, a board-certified physician with over 25 years of experience who's been on the front lines treating his patients with COVID-19. His co-author, Dr. Eric Rifkin, Ph.D., an environmental scientist with over 35 years of experience, believe that, it's all about miscommunications about COVID. This has led to confusion, vaccine hesitancy, and a mistrust of what should be trusted sources. And they're on a mission to improve health communications. Dr. Lazarus, welcome to the show. I love your objective and mission. Boy, I'll tell you, if we ever needed a vaccine of truth, it is now.
Well, it's great being here, and absolutely. It's this has been a pandemic of miscommunication from day one, and I think that's caused a lot of problems, not only in knowing your own personal risk, but also in how we're handling this. It's been kind of a horrific experience from top to bottom.
Well, it's like a perfect storm here. I mean, we had a culture that was ripe for narrative and anonymous reporting and fear-mongering, and now all of a sudden it's like they got themselves a hold of something, as one Democratic operative said, not to let any good crisis go to waste. And they've had a tiger by the tail ever since. I don't know that they even realized by misrepresenting and confusing people so badly over this virus that it's kind of created its own pernicious personality, hasn't it?
It's created a culture that's you know, from my perspective, very difficult to squelch at this point. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. If God forbid you dare question the use of a mask, you're called anti-science. You want to kill people. I've heard people on CNN call people like Scott Atlas mass murderers.
Yes,
because they had a discussion, and it's really a matter of, you know, science is a matter of, first of all, in our book, Understanding COVID Risks, our subtitle is an image is worth more than 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And the reason we say that is we use a theater and a stadium to put all the data we know into a context that people can understand. It's very simple. We use data that's available from the CDC and other reliable sources. And if we don't have the data, we have a big fat theater with a question mark.
Yes.
And what the media has never done is acknowledge what they don't know. And by doing that, they've created these myths that have taken on their own life. And frankly, from my position as a doctor in long-term care, where about 200,000 people have died, it has been a horrible experience because we're told to mask and quarantine, and none of it works. And we see that it doesn't work. And yet we're taking these old, frail people and just throwing them in rooms, taking away their lives. And from our cure and from the disease, this myth has led to so many deaths. And I think that's all from communication problems.
Well, and some of it is also, you know, policy. Come on. I mean, you know, the way the health professionals have handled this, you know, Dr. Fauci and others, like you said, you know, throwing people who are already vulnerable in senior facilities, you know, like Governor Cuomo. I mean, you know, 15,000 people die because of his policy here. And we're not smart enough, or, you know, the media is not smart enough to call it into account to say, look at, you know, 15,000 seniors died. Is that just, you know, the cost of doing business? You know, no big whoop here? Or was there something to gain? Do we just waste their lives and not generate any kind of intelligence from this and are all the better because of their deaths?
And Governor Cuomo was approached by a group of geriatric physicians and told not to do this, and he chose not to listen to them because he knew better. And he's one of many people. Dr. Fauci has been wrong about 95% of the time, but what bothers me most about Dr. Fauci is he has no concern at all about showing data. He just says things, and people like Jake Tapper on CNN will just say, well, then it's fact if it comes out of his mouth. But even more significantly, you have never once heard Dr. Fauci talk about the negative ramifications of what he's doing. The idea of keeping kids out of school, the idea of imprisoning older people. I've lost so many patients this year to this quarantine. It has been a tear-jerking, horrible experience. I've had nurses recently tell me that they've never in their lives been able to had to sit back, listen to the health department, tell them everything to do while they're watching their patients die and they're helpless to help their patients. And that's because of this communication that, you know, masks are the answer, quarantines are the answer. This is a disease that affects everybody, which is truly not the case. And the more the governmental agencies talk like this, the less people are going to trust them. And frankly, they shouldn't trust them.
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, we learned a lot with Obamacare, right? I mean, let's take out the direct route between the patient and the doctor, and let's bring in the federal bureaucracy. Well, how has that worked for you? I mean, if it was so popular and so great, you would see it in the numbers of people participating in it. I mean, they participate in it because, you know, right now it's about price and also the way they set it up in such a way that, okay, we'll move them into Medicare and jury-rig the numbers and make it seem like we're doing so much better than we actually were. And my question from day one was, originally, if you remember the argument, it was, this donut hole of people, this uncovered people that we needed to, you know, cover, and it was about 30 million people. And I said, okay, so what happened with those 30 million people? They don't know. I mean, a lot of good all that expense did, right?
Well, yeah, and you see this in COVID. It's the same thing. There's number manipulation going on. Well, you know, Eric Rifkin and I have used the idea of this theater
Yes, and I want go ahead and do that. This is really good. We've done this, you know, we used to do this in radio. In radio marketing, we would use, a professional, event where you got 50, 80,000 people attending. And I like what you guys did here, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, a theater, everyone understands, right? You can look at 1,000 seats or 100,000 seats in a stadium and understand, you know, what that means, mm-hmm. rather than people just throwing manipulated statistics at you. And believe me, as someone who's written many books on healthcare, it is easy for people to manipulate statistics. That's a game they play all the time. So we've done it in healthcare in general, and we've looked at multiple health endpoints and put them in a theater. And what your doctor tells you is absolutely necessary and life-saving, you find helps 1 out of 1,000 people and hurts 4 out of 1,000 people. Hmm. And the advantage of using the theater method is, A, it again, like I said, it shows you what you know and what you don't know. If it doesn't fit in a theater, then you don't know it. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it allows you to look at both the risks and benefits of what you're doing. Look, in COVID, we did not at all look at the risk of shutting down the world. Look what we're doing to kids right now. Mm-hmm. It is a horrific thing. There about 300 so kids have died of COVID. I walked by a sign recently in a small county in Maryland, which is pretty well off, and it said so far this year, 1,000 kids have died from drug overdose. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're putting a magnifying glass on one illness, and we're expanding numbers to the point where people are scared. We're putting fear into the air. But if you put it in the theater, all of a sudden, you're seeing what we're dealing with. And we also use the theaters to compare it to other things that we commonly accept. For instance, 4,000 kids die a year of car accidents. We accept that. We don't say kids aren't allowed to go in cars anymore. Mm-hmm. So this has been, we've taken this out of the context of where it needs to go. And I think in our book, we've tried to put it back in and show it in a way. We don't have a political agenda. We don't have any agenda. We're just using science. And, and science has been lost. There's been no science in COVID. It's been the greatest massacre of science I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's been overtaken by the body, by politics, the political
industry. It has.
And sadly, this is where we are, and people need to see and be aware, because going forward, if we're really going to, gain any experience of value here, then we need to understand the pernicious players and that there was a different agenda. It wasn't about healing the people or overcoming COVID. Maybe initially it was, but then it became a political football, is the way I see it.
And you'd think if people were serious about science, if you look just at the nursing home arena, mm-hmm. when the first wave came through, everyone was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Because it was mandated. People would have looked at that and said, okay, we should do a study right now while things are quiet and see if maybe daily testing, which is what I've been advocating for a long time, maybe testing every person who walks into that institution and every person who lives there will allow to open the quarantine and keep people safe. Let's at least test it out. But
exactly.
All it was no, do a mask. No, a third wave comes. Do a mask.
It was all directive. We've got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there when we come back. We got more from Dr. Lester.
That comes from a new song that was just launched by Save-A-Lot, your go-to neighborhood value grocer. The two-minute energy-boosting song creatively brings to life the hometown shopping experience of Save-A-Lot. It combines hip-hop, rap, and pop stylings into a video that literally has customers singing and dancing in a Save-A-Lot store and celebrating all of the savings that are possible.
Like a lot of lot. That means a lot of lot. Like dance on back to the parking lot a lot. Like saves and raves on the stuff to crave and waves from the legs. Oh, hey, Jose. High five.
The amazing video was produced by Drew Kirsch, the MTV VMA Video of the Year award-winning director for Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down. You can check out the full Like a Lot a Lot music video at SaveALot.com and on streaming platforms like YouTube, Apple Music, and Spotify.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Welcome back. Get ready. We've got some more note-taking to adhere to with Dr. Andy Lazarus, who joins us. He and his partner, Dr. Eric Rifkin, Ph.D., an environmental scientist with over 35 years of experience, are really blessing us with this incredible book, Understanding COVID-19 Risk, An Image Worth More Than a Thousand Words. And we're going to talk more about that. But before we do, Andy, I want to pick up where we left off, and that is talking about masks. I mean, first, it didn't matter. Dr. Fauci said we wear a mask. Then there was also, clear understanding of how much the mask could stop in terms of this virus. The particles are so small, the mask was, was wide open to the virus. So it was kind of silly to wear. But, it put us all through the drill, and we got to look at our fellow citizens, and if they weren't wearing a mask, then you could kind of give them the eye, or if they were wearing the mask incorrectly. And it's just ridiculous, and you wonder, after everything is said and done, did it work? And then, of course, now the next phase is, everybody had to get vaccinated. So, but now we've got people who have got vaccinated, they've had complications in their life, and they're still getting the virus. And it's all because of the Delta variant. It's the Delta variant fault is what they want us to believe. And I guess we're going to go through the entire alphabet until we get through two more voting elections that will allow them to have their way with the election process. I know it sounds a bit cynical, but that just seems to be their end game right now. And I say their end game, I'm talking about the powers to be in our government.
In the Greek alphabet, because we're going to go through the whole Greek alphabet. But you do have to understand that, flu, every virus has variants. We just don't call them variants because we're not trying to scare people to death. They're called
strains and other things. You know, flu has hundreds of strains every year that hit us.
Right.
And we don't put that on CNN. But yeah, every little thing here goes on CNN. The Delta variant, which everyone's so scared of, if you are vaccinated, your chance of dying from it is 1 out of 600,000. So we would have 6 stadiums, and one person in those 6 stadiums would die, which is about your chance of dying of a lightning strike this year. It's about similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they still want you to wear masks.
What about people that have already had the virus? I mean, we're hearing both things, that immunity or T cell immunity is stronger than actually being vaccinated. And that is just out there. I mean, you hear one doctor say, the other say just the opposite, just to go along here with the, with the scare narrative.
You know, again, if we want to look at science and if we want to plug things into theaters, if you look at people who have had other coronaviruses in the past, including SARS 18 years ago, and also some really cold-like coronaviruses a lot of kids get, they have a lot of immunity to COVID. People who have had COVID have tremendous immunity to COVID, and that's natural immunity. It's really the best kind of immunity you can get. And yes, and it's a T-cell immunity, and T-cells last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, the chances are that people are going to stay immune for a very long time. Of course, the media is going to pick out every little case of an exception, and that's easy to do with any disease, any condition. So you're right. It has become completely politicized and magnified. But if we just look at the facts and we compare it to other viruses and other conditions that we accept, Delta is nothing. If Delta had hit on its own, we would not be that concerned about it. Maybe if it didn't hit an election cycle, maybe if it,
yes,
if it didn't hit when all this hype was going on, it would just pass by. Look, 3 years ago in 2017, a flu virus hit that killed almost as many people worldwide as COVID, killed anywhere between 60 and 80,000 people in this country, and killed 3,000 kids, 10 times the number that COVID. Do you remember hearing about that? Do you remember hearing about masks and vaccines and closing down schools? Nothing, right? Didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
But these things happen periodically, but it has never reached this kind of fever pitch because we have moved beyond science here. We have moved into dogma. And what Eric and I are trying to do is bring it back to science. Bring it back to science.
Thank you for doing that.
Okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. These are the numbers.
Well, the CDC, about a month ago, put out a headline, and they squashed it about as fast as it came out, and that is the actual number of people that had died of COVID only, not comorbidities, but COVID only, they determined to be less than 5%. Well, less than 5% is about half the number of people who die annually from the flu, to your point. But, again, that fact got buried. Facebook, let it go out there for, I think, a couple of days, and then after that they squashed it. The engineers of media today, big tech, the big tech industrial complex, wasn't about to let that go because that wasn't fitting of the narrative, the necessary political narrative. But if you let's go back and let's do this benefit risk characterization theater, the BRCT that you write about in your book, and if we had 1,000 theater, what in terms of people who, like these kids who have already been exposed, others, subsequently that have been exposed to this virus, what does that theater look like in terms of, natural immunity? Do we have an idea?
Yeah, the people who have been exposed to this virus, pretty much all the seats are filled up with people who have natural immunity. And what that tells us is it would take approximately 6 stadiums of people before someone has serious complications from COVID or any of its variants, even when the Omega comes. If you put it in the theater in terms of the benefit of either immunization or getting COVID, it's the benefit's real. I mean, we are protecting ourselves. If you look at the risk part of it, the risk is not real anymore. There are people dying, mostly unimmunized, but again, hospitals fill up on a normal day. So we're looking at hospitals filling up as though this is an aberrant situation. My local hospital fills up 10 times a year. We have to send people to other hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime it happens now, it's on the news.
Oh, yeah.
The risk of dying of COVID now is extremely low. It's far lower than many other risks we're facing every day that we're walking around. One historian from Harvard suggested that the risk of choking to death right now is higher than the risk of an immunized person dying of COVID, and suggested that since Harvard is requiring all students to be immunized and to wear masks, maybe they should be required to take choking classes as well, since there's more bang for the buck in doing that and pureeing all the food for all the Harvard students. But you know, we can take this to umpteenth level, and just the top-down approach to this is not scientifically motivated. I think, to your point, if people saw the theaters or saw what you just said, which was, you know, how few people are dying just of COVID, and that's been my experience as a doctor, people would turn on all these heroes that they've created. And that's a real problem for the CDC, which is already in big trouble, and for people like Fauci, who has been lying and deceiving people from day one of this, like you suggest, you know, changing his mind constantly. They'd be in big trouble, I think, and they're going to hold to this narrative, and they got a captive audience for reasons I don't understand. And that's, again, in our book, we're trying to decaptivate the audience and and give them some reason to see facts again, because that's really important.
So important. Well, because this thing's been so emotionalized to such a degree that, you know, Dr. Fauci and other, you know, political scientists have risen to the level of godlike status. And, you know, Fauci's been taking some recent hits, and there's things that we've known about from day one, you know, back to the old political axiom is you follow the money, and you see where the money leads to and how often it goes through Fauci's office, this whole ordeal and this idea of gain of function. I mean, no doubt Dr. Fauci is he has been a promoter of gain of function from day one. And this is why he went around the president who told him, and I'm not talking about Trump, I'm talking about Barack Obama, who told him not to invest in the Wuhan laboratory, but he went ahead and did it anyway. And they knew it was risky. His staff came back, I think after about 18 months, it was reported, and said, these guys are cowboys. I mean, they're really not very good at containing these viruses. There's going to be a problem. We're getting out of there. And they left. And then here we are, what, another 12, 14 months later, an outbreak happens. And Fauci wants to, you know, promote this narrative that it came out of, you know, a wet market.
Bats, exactly.
Bats, and it's just like, and this all kind of, it all diverted, you know, took our eyes off the ball and helped to emotionalize this whole thing. And at some point, we've got to get to reality here. And your book goes a long way in helping us, you know, bring some balance, because this is something that, you know, our listeners are not going to get from the mainstream news. They're not going to get it from social media and big tech outlets, because they're all in to this scare tactic and narrative. They like having the people where they are right now. But even Bill Maher, surprisingly, the other night admitted that this woke culture is doing a lot of damage. So when you have, you know, a liberal spokesperson, you know, admitting that wokeness is killing people, then, you know, maybe we're starting to make a turn here. And I got to believe, Andy, that your book that you and Eric have put together here is going to go a long way, because it helps bring us back to the truth, you know. And that's like with anything. Whenever we're off kilter, we've got to get back to standard, don't we? We've got to get back to basic principles, and we've lost those.
And we do think we need a standardized way to show data, because it's so easy to manipulate data that we've come up with this way that it's simple and it's accurate and there's no messing with it. And everyone could understand it. And yeah, they don't want to do that because it would really destroy their narrative. But we're pushing on. We're going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
We have a website too, which is straighthealthchat.com. And we keep a blog, and we have other information about healthcare, because this is not unique. Look, as a doctor, when this thing hit us, I wasn't surprised how the health industry reacted, because this is who they are. They use a lot of statistics to do this.
Well, and speaking of statistics, this is what drives me nuts as well, is when they just give you percentages. I mean, what a way to hide a headline or to create a headline. Let's just use percentages, right? We got to leave it there.
Percentages, yes.
Dr. Lazarus, look forward to having you back and continuing the conversation. Take care. Be well, my friend.
I would love it. Thank you. Take care.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Having your own